Well, tonight, for those of you who are taking notes, and these teachings, of course, go out on the internet, and I call this tonight, Taking the Initiative Away from Satan. Taking the Initiative Away from Satan. Now, one of the things that we as believers have to learn, and I'm pretty aware of this, that the Holy Spirit is constantly teaching us, keeping us alert, that we are to keep the enemy off our back. Now, God wouldn't require us to do that unless he first had won the victory. And he has. And he won the victory at Calvary. And if the devil is on your back or you're being buffeted, go back to Calvary. Go back to basics. Go back to see what Christ has done and the authority that he has given you in his name and through the blood of Jesus. Because he's not going to do it for you. Now, when we first get saved and we start to walk with the Lord does encourage us and he permits at times things that maybe now as we're growing up, he doesn't tolerate any longer. And one of the things that he's not going to tolerate is that he hears you coming before him, griping and moaning, "Oh, the devil's on my back, he's got me again." Because you are going to hear what Christ has done for you. And he's going to turn back and say, "Well, what are you going to do about it?" Which for some might come as a bit of a shock. And you might think, "Well, I didn't bargain for this, getting saved." But really, that is what the Lord is saying. What are you going to do about it? Because the Lord has done it at Calvary. And not only did he achieve the victory at Calvary by overcoming the works of the enemy, the powers of darkness, but he's also given you his name that you can use, which is the name above every name. And if you believe in that name, in your warfare and your rebuking of the enemy, then the enemy must flee. Now, he might not always flee straight away when you want it, but he eventually will flee. And not only that, and this is what we're going to look at tonight also, is that he's given us the word, which is the sword of the Spirit. And at times, like all soldiers, which we are in the army of God, at times we can get a bit battle fatigued. At times we just want to sort of go into our closet or somewhere, just leave me alone, I'm a bit battle fatigued, I'm a bit tired, I just want to have a break, give me a break. We don't sort of say in so many words, but that's what we really are doing, that's what we say to God sometimes, just give me a break. Well, unfortunately, soldiers are 24/7, 365 days a year on their guard. And we're in an army. And we're in fellowship and unity. And when there is one that's weak or if they're going through a trial, whatever it is, then we who are strong at the time, we can pray, intercede for that other. This is what keeps the army strong. To be defensive against the powers of darkness, against those demonic forces. Because they're all the while trying to fire those fiery darts. That's the nature of the powers of darkness. And Satan will often try to hold us with that fear and with that doubt. And that is where he works. He knows he can probably paralyze, sadly, probably about 98% of professing believers. He knows he can paralyze them with that doubt and fear every time he growls. Well, God is saying, what about the 2% who are believing? It's a remnant. Because those who are believing and those who stand firm and will not take on board that fear and that doubt, that will spread. That's infectious. And that's what God wants to do in his house. He wants to start his house to become infectious. It's called faith. It's called boldness. And when you've got a remnant that start to believe And those that are retracting in fear and doubt, in time they begin to think to themselves, well, hey, hang on, this does actually work. What am I doing running away? What am I doing running back every time the enemy has a go and so forth? That's why our testimony, that is why you're standing, you're enduring, you're believing is so powerful and it ministers to others. Now, you might not see it, but it does. And when God magnifies and glorifies his name through healing and deliverance and through the answers of prayer, so it encourages others who are a bit fearful, those that might be sort of tempting to go back and so on, which I will look at later on this evening. But that is where often he holds us in fear and doubt. And the secret is the word of God to overcome. And that is why God is giving us his word in this last day, in order that we overcome and we simply take it in, we pray about it, we allow it into our hearts to produce that faith. Now we see in the book of Revelation, verse 11, which you all know very well, but here it characterizes the overcomers of this last day. In Revelation 12 and verse 11, and he says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Now, how many today are overcoming by the blood of the Lamb? There's so much confusion today in Christendom. Oh, you're not to use the blood of Jesus. You're not to keep confessing it. You're not to keep using it as though it's some magical formula. Well, that's exactly what the devil would want you to think. But my Bible says here, they overcome him, who is him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb. In other words, their faith in the blood of the Lamb. Now, how is the blood of the Lamb applied? Well, of course, it's not applied willy-nilly. It's not applied just flippantly. It's applied by faith. And it is applied through prayer, intercession. It is applied through spiritual warfare. It is applied in worship. It is applied when saints come together, like tonight, in worship and praise. It's applied if the enemy is trying to deceive you. That is how the blood of Jesus is applied, by faith. And you come against him with the blood of Jesus. Not in your own strength, not in your own self, but with the blood that has atoned for you and the whole world. That is what you come against. So that is the first thing to remember, that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. What is your testimony? Well, I trust that your testimony is that God is faithful, that all the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus Christ, and that God will bring me through every trial and through every test. The Lord will not forsake me. He that hath begun a work in me will complete, finish it at the day of Jesus Christ. It just goes on and on and on. That is the word of our testimony. Again, we're still using that in the context that we overcome him, that is Satan, and the powers of darkness. And they did not love their lives unto death. There's the cross, which you daily take up, that you surrender that self-life. You're surrendering the self-life up unto death, that the life of Christ, through the Holy Spirit, might live his life now in and through you, that in your weakness you are made strong. Do you feel weak? Are you finding that the Holy Spirit is weakening you more and more and more through the week? Some are nodding yes. Well, then you're on the right track, because that's a means of God strengthening his power through your weakness. And he's going to weaken the overcomers. He's going to weaken everyone who listens to this message tonight. If you love the Lord and you're walking by faith, you want to overcome, I've got news for you. He's going to weaken you in your flesh. He's going to bring you to situations where it's hopeless. He's going to bring you to mountains that are impossible to overcome. He's going to bring you into situations and warfares and giants that you could never take in a million years, so that the glory of God may be magnified in your weakness. It is in the church's weakness that we're going to see the power of God to heal and deliver and set the captives free in this last day. And that is why he's humbling us. And that is indeed why the humble, the meek will hear this. As Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Many are wanting power today in the churches, and they think their revivals are through music and worship and the size of the congregation and so forth. That is not. That is a smokescreen. Most of that falls into entertainment. No, it is when lives that come to the end of themselves that they realize in that weakness they're then made strong. And that is what God is going to do. And so don't be surprised at your trials. Don't be surprised tomorrow when you wake up or you meet a trial or you meet a test or the enemy's having a go at your mind. God is allowing that to weaken you so that your strength lies in your confession of the blood of Jesus and in the power of his word. That is where he wants your strength. That is where he wants your attention. That is where he wants your faith. He wants your attention off the circumstances, on the word, on the blood of the Lamb. That is your overcoming. And eventually the enemy has to withdraw. He has to. He's got to. They're the conditions. And so he's going to be eventually forced to release that hold that he has on your circumstances. But often he's going to try to get you to doubt and break your confession. And that's why we spoke a few weeks ago about confession. He's going to try and get you to change that confession. Because once he does, you're lining up then with him. The powers of darkness. The law of death instead of the law of life. That is what he wants you to confess. He wants you to confess those colds, those flus. He wants you to confess that your family won't be saved. It's too far gone. He wants you to confess that rebellious son whom I can't ever see coming off drugs. He wants you to confess all those things. And as you come back to the blood of Jesus and back to the word of God, then God is going to work with you to change it. And that is why he weakens us in order to keep us diligent, to keep our confession and faith positive. If you go through a trial tomorrow or the end of the week, I want you to say to yourself, I'm going through this because God sees, otherwise my confession is going to change. And then the law of death is going to start to come into operation. And none of us want that. Amen? He loves us. And that's why he's got it all under complete control. And that's why, you see, he's going to try and keep us in that doubt. He's going to try and break your confession. And he's going to come against the integrity of God's word. See, God didn't answer your prayers. See, he doesn't heal. See, you didn't get that promotion that you thought you were going to get. You didn't get those grades from the exam that you thought you were going to get and so on. He is trying all the while to get you to doubt God's integrity, his love, his faithfulness to the word of God. I bring you right back to Romans 12:11. They overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives unto death. In other words, they are sold out to meet the conditions, to be in faith. And so when you're doubting, you're hearing that confession isn't as it should, you come against him with the blood of Jesus. You come against him with the sword of the Spirit, that word. And he eventually has to release his hold. Well, I want to look at some areas where he tries to work. And most of these, I think, will sound familiar. As I say, it's no great new revelation. Very much what I preach is very practical. And it's things that you meet day in and day out. But the first one is he'll try and implant fear and doubt to confuse you. And that is the nature of fear and doubt. In its nature, it causes confusion. It causes one to retract. It throws you into confusion. You are not sure. That is the nature of fear. Now, why does Satan use that number one demonic power that he paralyzes the world with? Well, I've said to you before and I'll say it again, because he above all fears God and his future destiny. And so because he fears God more than anything else, he fears him far more than even you, he's going to try and oppress you with that confusion and that fear. So there is the first thing that he tries to do. The moment that you sense fear, doubt is creeping up, you've got to go back. You've got to stop. Don't move on. Go back and claim your territory, your stand. Come back to the blood of Jesus. Come back to the word of God, your confession, your testimony. And that is what the Holy Spirit will prompt you to do. People that start going wrong or make shipwreck of their faith is they didn't heed, they didn't listen to God's warning. And so they were moving further and further into the devil's territory, which of course is exactly what the devil wanted, making them think they got the victory. And in the end, they hadn't. And that's what he does, you see. And so that is what he's going to try and get you to do. Secondly, he can surround you with good advice, especially from friends, Job's comforters, and so on. And sadly, this can even come out of the house of God. It can come out of the house of God at times. And so we have to be on our guard. And the enemy, sadly, at times can use this. And we have to listen. We have to test the spirits, as it says in 1 John 4. Test what is coming out. Does that line up with the word of God? Does that edify me? Does that build me up in faith? Is that pointing me to Jesus? Is what I'm hearing, that saint that's sharing with me, is that putting also the devil to flight? Very often, trials, we don't really need that advice, funnily enough. What we need to hear is, sister, brother, I'm with you, I'm in prayer, I'm standing with you. Sometimes that's all you need to hear, because they could never understand in a million years what you're going through. They may mean well in intentions, but you feel yourself getting wound up because they don't understand. We need to learn at times just to button it, because all they need to hear is, I'm standing with you. I don't know what it is, but I'm in faith. You're going to come through because I'm in warfare. I'm in this with you as well, brother, sister. Wish to God more of us in the house of God would do this. But that pride in us at times thinks we've got the answer. We can put them right. No, we need to be very sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And really, that was the same with Job, his trial that he went through. You know, he got his best friends come. They got it. They missed it a mile off. They weren't comforting him at all. Even his wife said, curse God and die. You see? So that is what we should be doing. We should be with them so that they're overcoming by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of God, by their testimony. And you just pray that. What a powerful prayer to pray for your brother or sister that's going through it. Father, bring them back to the blood. Father, bring them back to the word of God. Whatever it takes, just work that with them, because I'm confessing that, believing that over their life in Jesus' name. And we need to do that for some of our brothers and sisters at the moment who are not with us in fellowship. We need to start confessing that so that the powers of darkness will start to be removed that's blinding them, hindering them. Some of them that are not here tonight is because they've retracted back primarily of fear. The giants of the land. So we do need to be sensitive in that area. A third area. The enemy cause persecution, or to sift your faith, or try and attack your faith. And so he may work this through persecution, where you're rejected. You may be rejected at work, or by the family, or maybe for a time in your marriage, or from your son or daughter, or wherever it would be, or from your neighbours. You are persecuted, you're rejected, because you stand for Jesus, you love him. Well, praise God, count it all joy. And the enemy might just allow you to go through a season where he's trying to rob your faith. He's trying to rob your peace. He's trying to get you inward looking. See, you know, they've forsaken you. You're becoming a religious fanatic. They think you're a crackpot. They think, you know, there's something wrong with you. For some people, they really have to overcome that. And he'll try those methods, those areas for a season. Or, as I said earlier, another area, it caused the family to turn against you because you're standing on the word of God and you're not going to compromise. That's a big one. Jesus spoke of that. And they will. In time, if you want to go all the way with Jesus, your family may at times take a step back from you. And they will. Are you going to let that wound you? Are you going to let that affect you? Or are you just going to start confessing Satan is a liar? I overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Whatever they're saying, whatever they're talking about, whatever their attitude, I'm not listening to it. I'm going forward, and in time God will work anyway. Often you find this, of course, when you're believing for your loved ones. As I say so many times, when you start confessing them and believing for them for the kingdom of God, you find they start to get worse. And not only do they get worse, but they start to persecute you. They start to say lies about you and don't want to see you so much and so on. It can be difficult. It's not an easy one. What are you going to believe? Well, that's a lie. It's a smokescreen. The devil wants to try and rob you of your faith because he doesn't want your family making it into the kingdom of God. Most certainly not. Another area that the enemy will try to work, where we've got to take that initiative against him, and that is that he can cause depression and apathy. And with depression and apathy can come procrastination. And so you just find yourself not walking like you once did with God. You just find yourself, oh, I can't be bothered to go to the meeting tonight, and I'm not going to leave it for the prayer meeting this week, and so on. And so there's just that feeling of depression, you know, things are just not going right. I just feel really down, really fed up, and just wonder what it's all about. Most of us have all been attacked with that one. And I wonder why. I wonder why. Again, when you are becoming aware of those symptoms, then you've got to start to come against this with the blood of Jesus and the sword of the Spirit, the Word. And sometimes you don't feel like going to a meeting and you just defy it and say, no, I am going there in Jesus' name. And you get to that meeting and boy, are you blessed. And you go away and you say, thank God I went to that meeting because that very word today was just what I needed to hear. It's restored me. It's brought the joy of the Lord back to my heart and spirit. We've all gone through that one. We've all done it. Some of us, you know, we think to ourselves, oh, I'm not going to go online tonight. I know it's the meeting. It's full gospel assembly tonight. They're going to minister the word Tuesday night. Oh, I'm just going to have a break from pal talk and so on. And you find you miss a blessing. Because the word of God, if it comes under that anointing, is indeed a blessing. And it's always the word you need to hear. God knows exactly the right message. It's the right message. It's fresh. It's new. It's tailor-made, as I always say. Well, it's our faith then and our confession that's going to weaken him. And I want us to look again to something we know very well in Hebrews 10, chapter 10 of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. And here he says, let us hold fast the confession of our faith or hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. So we hold on to that hope, that confession, that faith. So he says, let us hold fast that confession. So in other words, it reads in such a way, you might not feel like confessing it. You might be confessing when it looks completely contrary. But he says, whatever it is, hold fast. Keep with it. You know, there was a real attack on the faith message years ago where, for a while, the enemy was trying to work. Well, there are people who are trying to confess the promises of God by faith, but they're not really believing, and therefore, actually, they're liars. Because that's lying that's coming out. And there were some that fell for that, because logically, intellectually, there can be truth to that. Because you don't start confessing something unless you believe it. Because otherwise it is a lie. And so the enemy would try and work that one. And he did for a while. And sadly some were sifted as a result of it. And that is why you come back to the basics. You come back to the blood of Jesus. You come back to the word and your confession. And it doesn't take long for the Holy Spirit to do that when you're wavering or you're doubting, to bring you back where you settle it and think, no, I'm not lying. This isn't a lie. Christ said that by his stripes I was healed at Calvary. He has also said, I am the Lord that heals thee. So I am not lying, because he made the promises first, not me. I had to say that once to the enemy, and he was pounding away. I said, well, Satan, whatever you're trying to say, these promises never came from my imagination or my idea or my intellect or my studies. These promises came from God and him alone. And within 5 minutes, the devil fled, because I brought it back into perspective. That God gave the revelation of this, his will. And so that is what it tells us to do here. Let us hold fast the confession of our faith or hope without wavering. And so he's going to bring us to a place, whatever the trial, whatever the circumstances, whatever the devil's throwing, we'll come to a place that we can confess without wavering, because we are so influenced by God's word and will. He can and he will do that. There's a promise there. You can now tonight ask God, if you've never done it before, Father, please, in your mercy and grace, work faith within me, where it comes to a place that it doesn't waver anymore. There's a promise there. How many have prayed that? How many have seen that? How many have asked God? Some might be saying, oh, you can't ask God for that. Oh, yes, you can. Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. Now, I believe that's come by the Spirit tonight. And those who are listening with their heart have taken that on board. We then move on in verses 35 to 36 of the same chapter in Hebrews 10, 35 and 36. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. And that is why we hold on to such promises like Mark 11:24. Wherefore, whatsoever thing you ask in prayer, believing, you have received. The moment you ask God in faith, you have received. Hebrews 11:1 tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What is the evidence? Do you want the evidence tonight? The evidence of your faith? Well, I'm telling you, you're holding it in your hand. And it's 66 books filled with the promises of God. Do you want the evidence of what God says about you? You're holding it in your hand. We're preaching it to you tonight. And so the faith realm is more real than the realm that we're living in now. where we can smell, touch, hear, feel, all the senses, all we're told, all of that is going to pass away. But the realm of faith, which is where God resides and lives, is going to be eternal and stands forever. And that is where you receive. And the delays in faith, which often are simply a delay so that it comes from that realm, the realm of God, into our realm. It's like you know that a letter is on the way. Somebody is writing a letter and there is a check for £100,000. Now they tell you, you have received, you have got £100,000, but it's coming. And so for a few days, you wait. Now you know you're in faith for that. And I'll tell you how you know, because the moment you hear a click at the letterbox, you're out quick having a look. Is the letter come through? Or you hear the door, you hear the door into the garden click. Out, you look out the window. Is that the postman? Is he there? Is it today? That's your faith acting. That's in the natural. We do that. How much more then with the word of God should we be doing that? Waiting each day, thanking God. Not keep praying and asking and asking, when are you going to heal me? When are you going to heal me? Thank God he has healed you. Thank God he has paid that those bills. Thank God he has provided that car. Thank God he has paid the mortgage. Thank God he has healed, and so on. Stop asking. You only need to ask once. God isn't deaf. You know, we've got this idea that God's deaf today. And so the more we shout, the louder our worship is, the more it glorifies God. Not always. Now, there is a place to shout. There's a place to clap. There's a place to dance. But remember, God isn't deaf. And I can guarantee that God's heard before you did. Hallelujah. So every time you pray and you seek God, remember this. The Lord is saying, I've heard before you have. Hallelujah. Doesn't he love us? Doesn't he love us? So there we are. So it says here quite clearly, therefore do not cast away your faith, your confidence, which has great reward. Don't cast it away. We've seen some who cast it away or are attempting to cast it away. The Lord says, don't cast it away, because God is working, perfecting our faith. He's doing it right now as we listen to this teaching. This is why you don't cast it away, because he's working with it, working, working, working all the time behind the scenes. He's always working with your faith to get you to that place and consecration of believing. You're here tonight, and saints who are in the room tonight, you're here for one purpose, and that is that God loves you and he wants to get you your faith, to get you believing. Because without it, Hebrews 11:6 says, it's impossible to please him. And so he says, you have need of endurance, verse 36, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. What is the will of God? Here is the will of God tonight, that you believe. That is the will of God. That's all he's asked of you. And even that is a gift. And that is why our faith must be like a child, simply believing. The will of God is that you believe. And he being the potter, we the clay, will do the rest. And he's perfecting it. And he's going to bring it to a place where you don't any longer waver. And you only waver because of your trials, your circumstances. You waver because you still doubt. You waver because you're taking your eyes off the blood of Jesus and the word of God, and you're looking too much on the symptoms, the signs. And so the enemy tries to snatch us, to snare us. You see? That's why we overcome by the blood of Jesus. Is the enemy on your back tonight? Or have you had a rough week? He's tried to really rob you of your faith. Right, start with the blood of Jesus. Start confessing the blood of Jesus. Start singing those songs, choruses about the blood of Jesus. Then move on to the word of God. And I'll tell you, the devil won't be around for long. I can assure you, because Satan hates praise. He hates us when we praise God, when we confess his name and we lift that name up and we confess the blood of Jesus. The powers of darkness hate it. We've heard many demons over the years scream out of people, "I hate that name." Don't sing those choruses anymore. They don't like it. And so, holding on to our faith, enduring, staying with it, just staying in there, for example, with healing, Satan tries to get your attention on your symptoms, to cause you to doubt and break that confession of faith. Just stay with it. You see, it's got to be God that works that boldness within us, because our faith, our confession, it has to be a bold reaffirmation of your faith in God's word, will, and it will kill those doubts and those roots that have tried to get in. You reaffirm your faith. You use the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, and the blood of Jesus. And I tell you, that will deal with those roots of doubt quicker than anything. And the enemy will have to release eventually his hold. He has to. Are you doubting tonight? Well, I would say, if we're to be honest, most of us are in areas. And so the Lord is saying, come right back. Come back to the blood and to the word. And you stick with that, and those roots of doubt will be dealt with, and they will not take root to start to do damage. You see, reaffirm your faith, your stand in God. That's why I bring you back to Hebrews 11:23. Let us hold fast the confession of our faith, hope, without wavering. Reaffirm it. Come back. See, the enemy will try to tell you, oh, you're too far gone. The enemy will try and say, how long have you been in this walk? What did I hear? 15 years? Oh, 20 years? My word, you haven't got very far, have you? Dear, dear me. You're still overcoming those same areas. Let him say it. What's 15, 20 years in the light of eternity? Huh? You're a new creation. You're just hanging around here until the Lord takes you up. Where you really reside is in glory with God. You're seated in heavenly places, high above every power, principality, dominion. You're with Christ in glory. So there you are. You can kill that root straight away. But logically, intellectually, it does sound right. And you can at times think, hang on, I've been 20 years at this. And what have I got to show for it? You know, doesn't matter. We're talking about eternity. We're talking about faith. We're talking about no end, no beginning. The Alpha and the Omega. You're talking about God. Praise his name. And so those doubts are going to begin to break where he tries to hold you. I believe this is the defense weapon whereby you keep your faith, your mind, your whole being under the blood of Jesus. And when the enemy advances toward you, stand fast. Don't retract. See, many Christians, the moment the enemy tries to make an advance, and he will, and I'm going to warn tonight, after this message, the enemy will try and take another step forward, an advancement. So I'm just warning you now. But if you've listened tonight, you know what to do. And you know to confess the blood of Jesus and the word of God. And I tell you, he's going to retract. He's going to back. You know a lovely love story, and I won't read it all, but turn with me if you will, as we bring this now to a close, in 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17, and here Goliath the Philistine is mocking the army of God. And what he's really doing is mocking God. And as a result of the stature of this man and the power of the Philistines, the armies under Saul are in fear and trepidation. And that's what fear does. And remember that Saul now at this stage is apostatizing. He's falling away. And so these are clear signs of fear, doubt that's happening to him. And so because he's fallen away and God has now raised up a new anointed, David, so we see that that fear that's in him also affects his army as well. And let's take it up in 1 Samuel 17, verse 24. And the men of Israel, when they saw the man, that is Goliath, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So they weren't just afraid, they were in terror. They were awestruck. They were paralyzed by fear. That's how it reads in the Hebrew. Have you ever experienced that in the past where you've almost been paralyzed by fear? That's exactly what the devil tries to do. So look at the situation. It's impossible. God is setting the scene. Sounds familiar? Of course it does. Right, let's take it up now in verses 42 onwards. Verse 42. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, remember David's come now, he says, I'll take him. I'll take him. And so when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. And so the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Now, and again, we notice who he's really coming against. He's coming against the God of David who is with him. That's who he's really cursing. So he's committing his own death warrant. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with the sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. That is the same spirit, belief, confession that you too come against the powers of darkness. And Jesus is not going to do it for you. He's achieved it at Calvary. He has overcome all things. He says the enemy is even our footstool, the same as Christ. Now you take up that authority, the weapons I have given, and you now address the powers of darkness in my name. And David's doing exactly here. He's doing exactly the same thing. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And God did precisely that, to glorify his name. Why am I emphasizing this? Because what we're saying tonight is about the glory of God. That God's name will be glorified by your stand, by your confession, by your belief in the blood of Jesus. You may be saying to yourself tonight, well, what am I going to get out of this? The question is, first and foremost, what does God get out of this? I'll tell you what he gets out of this. He gets his name glorified. His name is lifted up. And when he lifts, his name is lifted up. What does he say I do? I draw all men unto me. I will draw your loved ones. I will restore your marriage. I will heal your body. I will pay your mortgage. I will give. I will give. As I am drawn and lifted up, I will glorify my name. As he did with Israel. And all that fear and bondage was removed from Israel, from the camp, when they saw the victory. There's no more fear after that. You read it. That is how God does this. Now it's up to us. God's met us halfway. Are you going to meet him? Oh, yes, but the devil comes and, oh, you know, like every lion, that growl. Oh, it's so frightening. Well, that's all he can do is growl. He can't do any more. Oh, he makes a big noise. The devil always does. But that is all he can do. And eventually it's going to simmer down anyway. A lion can't keep growling forever. It takes a lot of energy to growl like that. And so the same with the enemy. Hallelujah. And so we advance towards Satan with our faith and confession in that word, the sword of the Spirit. And finally, when tempted to doubt, a bold step of faith, and it takes the initiative away from him, and it's going to keep him in control and in the situation and place where he should be. And so every time the enemy is working, he's causing you to doubt, temptation, whatever, come against him with the blood of Jesus, the word of God. Take your stand, and he has to retract. You say to me, oh, but I don't feel like it. What has feelings got to do with it? Very often when you have to rebuke the enemy, you don't feel like it. But it's your belief in that. It is your belief in the blood of Christ. It is your belief in that holy word that he's given to us. And eventually he's going to flee. So resist him, and the powers of darkness will flee. No, the Lord is not going to do it for you. He's going to do it with you. And there's a difference. By you believing what he has done at Calvary, and by appropriating the victory that he wrought for you. And as you appropriate that, so the powers of darkness have to release their hold. He's got to. And so it may have taken 10 years. It may have taken 15, 20, 25, 30, dare I say even 40. Well, we can still beat that. It took Noah 120 years. So there we are. The victory is there, friends. Hold fast to your confession. And don't waver. And don't let the enemy rob you anymore. And you're going to see the name and power and glory of God being raised up. And as he's raised up, so I believe we're going to see these greater works manifesting. We're going to see people getting healed, people in Pal Talk, in these rooms, as they listen to this word and take it in. The healings are going to take place. We're already beginning to see signs of this. A sister oppressed, held in depression for years. We broke that power over us. She's free, she told me. We're beginning to see it happening. The signs are following them that believe. I always confess the signs following of healing, deliverance, salvation in God's word every time I preach. I believe it, but above all, I expect it, because I know that that's my God. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Father, tonight again, we want to bless and thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for being with us. Father, we so desire and believe that we have lifted the name of Jesus yet higher and higher. And we do that by our faith, by holding in, standing fast, coming against the powers of darkness by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And he will release, he will go, because he has to. And even when he comes, it's just for a season, and he makes a lot of noise like a roaring lion. But that lion cannot devour us. It cannot attack us. And that is because of the blood of Jesus. And so, Lord, I pray that all my brothers and sisters who have heard this tonight may enter in to the reality of this word. Be with them, bless them, preserve them, keep them from the evil one, from temptations. Let the joy of the Lord be their strength. Bless their going out and their coming in. And to restore to them, Father, the years that the cankerworm, the caterpillar, and all other defilements, all those things that have tried to eat away. Father, let this be a time now of restoration, a restoring of wholeness in mind, body, and spirit. Father, we thank you for this. In Jesus' name.